Well, praise God, church. I'm glad y'all are here this morning. Now, you know, today is dinner on the grounds, and it's dinner on the ground. It ain't lunch on the grounds. We were just talking about, I think it's your social standings from whenever it's lunch or dinner, but it's dinner and supper. That's the end of the story. So anyway, it's dinner on the grounds. And but anyway, if you didn't know, we just invite you to come and stay in the fellowship with us. We always believe God to multiply all the food, so don't be worried if you didn't bring anything. We're just going to believe God to just make it all work out. He always has, always does. Amen? And so, you know, the reason why we have dinner on the grounds is not just because we want to give y'all a free meal. It's because we want a fellowship. I want y'all to fellowship and learn to know who each other is. And, you know, y'all, there's a lot of y'all in here that I've never even... Y'all have been coming to church for months, and I've never even really got to meet you because by the time I get from here off the pulpit over there, you're out the door and gone. And so I want to, you know, gives me time to meet y'all, but you need to make friends. Listen to me, folks, we need friends. You may think he can be the Lone Ranger, but even he had Tonto, right? Hello? And so, you know, you got to have friends. You need relationships in life. And so it's a good time to just sit down. So, you know, I know sometimes it's pressure and it depends on how your personality is. Because I know sometimes you feel comfortable just going and sitting at a table by yourself and then hope somebody else comes and sits with you. But I want to tell you something. Around here, it's better just to belly up to the bar. Everybody say belly up to the bar. It's better just to look and see, well, there's four places to go sit down right in the middle of somebody you don't even know. And they're, you know, one thing I'll say is we're all friendly people. Amen? This is a friendly church and friendly people. We're country people. We don't like you, we'll just tell you. We don't beat around the bush. Ain't none of that going on, you know. And so that didn't going to happen. But, I mean, you know, we just sit down and make a friend, make a new friend today. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Well, get your Bibles out this morning. And if you would go to the book of Psalms in the Old Testament, I'm still preaching this message, Take the Bull by the Horns. And I want to be on this for several more weeks. Keep praying. The book should be out in a couple of weeks. And I'm really excited about it. I believe of all the books that I've ever written, this one's going to have more impact upon lives. I just really believe I've got great expectations for this book. Because y'all are going to make it work. See, I haven't told you y'all's part. But when the book comes out, you know, I'm going to bind all of y'all into a contract before Almighty God. And he's going to watch you. And if you don't do something with the book that I tell you to, well, then he's going to get you. Send his angels to haunt you at night. No, not quite that crazy, but... I really believe that this is a book that's really going to help people for discipleship. That's what I believe God's doing right now in the world today. There's so many people out there, and I'm shocked at how little they know about God. It just blows my mind away how little people are prepared for meeting God or needing God. Are y'all with me? Usually most people try to have a relationship with God until... something's wrong in the life. They're in trauma. Something, you know, they're got cancer in their body, or they got thrown in jail, or their child got thrown in jail, or their child's going through this, or something like that. That then we turn and need God. And that's the wrong way to live, church. We should have a relationship with God all the time. You ought to be able to wake up in the morning and say, "Hey, God, what's going on? Hey, Daddy, what's happening? Hey, Jesus, what's going on? Holy Ghost, I need you to help me with this." It should be a normal, just flowing relationship. So anyway, I talked to you, the very first point number one is in this relationship, you have to find out who Jesus is, all right? And I want to get into that a little more in a minute, because when I woke up this morning, the Holy Spirit just spoke something to me I thought was really funny. So but you got to know who Jesus is. Are y'all with me? Not the religious Jesus. Listen to me, you have to read your Bible and find out who he is. You need to read, not to just cover pages, not to say, "Oh yeah, I read the New Testament." No, you need to read very slowly and very methodically and read and look and ask the Holy Spirit to show you what is going on at that situation. You have to stop when you're reading and say, "Well, what was it like when Jesus was sitting in the house of Simon the leper with all these sinners?" And the Pharisees were all you know, puffed up about it. And what would it have been like? How would he have acted? I wonder what he looked like, what his face looked like. I wonder what you gotta get into this. You gotta read and ask the Holy Spirit to show you, because you want to know who Jesus really is. Amen. You don't want to know a denominational Jesus. You want to know the real Jesus. I'm not saying they're wrong, but I'm saying you don't want man to tell you who Jesus is. You want to know who Jesus is for yourself. Amen? So, it's like I said, I always had a hard time with the Jesus that walked around in the long robe and the sandals and, you know, carrying a lamb and petting it, because nobody carries a stinking lamb. They stink. Okay? You're not going to do that. And I always had an image. I'd see that picture in the church of Jesus walking along, and I was like, that doesn't seem like my Jesus, that he's just walking around stroking a lamb, you know. And I know the picture was just trying to say he's the Lamb of God and whatever, but it just, as a kid, I just kept saying, that ain't right. Nobody carries a stinking sheep around with them. But anyway, that's just me. Maybe y'all like that picture. I'm sorry if I've offended you, but point number two is, in your reading the Word, and you've got the Word going in you, and you're learning who Jesus is, well, then you've got to learn to meditate on the Word. The second thing you've got to learn to do. But meditating on the Word doesn't mean like you're, like, you know, you know, not that kind of, no. It means that you're, what you've read, then you're thinking on, you're chewing on it. The actual word for meditating means like a cow chewing its cud. It means that you're just sitting there calmly, chewing on what you've read. Like, Lord, what's going on here? Why? What happens? You know, okay, you said to learn of me. Now, how am I going to learn of you, Lord? What does that really mean to learn now? You know, and so you're meditating on it. You're thinking about it. You're taking it through. And what you're meditating on is what you've read, right? So if you don't do point number one, you can't do point number two. All right? So that takes you to point number three, okay? So you've read the Word, you've meditated the Word. Now you have some ammunition to take your thoughts captive. How many of y'all have crazy thoughts in a day? Huh? Don't we all? Don't we all have crazy thoughts that pop in our head through the day? Well, how you take a thought captive is you replace it with the Word of God and what it says. So if the thought comes in your mind, you're going to fail, or you're going to die, or you're going to whatever, you take that thought captive and say, oh, that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, I want to have a long life, and you're going to satisfy me with it. You start to think, man, the world and the economy is going so bad, I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know, you know, if we're going to have enough money to do this or do that. And but no, you stop. You say, no, wait a minute. I when I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Lord, thank you that I'm not going to have to beg on the side of the road, that you prosper me, you take care of me. You said all that I put my hand to is going to prosper. See, you're taking the negative thought captive by the Word of God that you've been meditating on, that you read. It's simple, church. It's simple. You got to read, you got to meditate, and then you got to take your thoughts captive, okay? Now, we've talked about that. Now, here we go into the fourth one. So, now you're reading, you're meditating, and you're taking your thoughts captive. Now, the it brings us to the fourth thing right here. You find it in Psalms 37:5. It says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. The word commit there, if you go look up the Hebrew word, what commit means, It's a really unique word. The first part of the word means, it means to roll off. Like, it's like you had a burden on you and you rolled it off. It's like you're carrying a 50-pound sack of feed and you threw it off. You rolled it off. All right? And the second part of the word means to wallow. Like a hog in the mud. Like a doggone stink. Huh? Have you ever? Oh, come on, y'all, look at me. Y'all, what's the matter with y'all somewhere? Aren't y'all good country people? I mean, how many times have you gone out and there was something dead in the yard? We're country people. We have dead things in the yard. And you went out there and you're like, oh, man, what is that? And the dog runs over there and just gets on top of it. He gets up on his back and does the hoochie-coo right on there. Oh, you're like, you nasty thing. Get away. I'm not going to touch you. Have y'all experienced that in life? Please raise your hand and don't look at me like I'm some kind of... You can't preach a message like this. It's everywhere. You got to, you know. But the wallow means it's just like doggone stink, man. He just gets up there and just wallows around. So the fourth point is that you have to come to the place in life that you have communication with heaven. You have to pray. You have to talk to Jesus. All right? Now, what are you going to talk to him about? Whatever's burdening you. Listen to me. Even medical science has proven that most sicknesses are due to stress. And the reason why we have stress is because we do not carry our burdens to the Lord and roll them off. Or if we do, we've done it some form of religious prayer that we have just gone through, but we didn't even have faith to believe that God really answered that prayer. Go to 1 John chapter 5 and let's look at this. 1 John chapter 5 verse 14. 1 John 5 14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything." Now what does anything mean? Doesn't it mean anything? "That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." Do you notice that word confidence? Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him. As Christians, we should be so excited that the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, the one that formed a dirt man out of the clay and breathed life into it, we get to talk to Him. We have a hotline. We have the red phone. You say, "Yeah, but I pray, but I don't ever see anything happen." Well, then you got to learn what's going on because God wants to answer your prayers. Listen to me. Jesus out of His own mouth, you going to call Jesus a liar? He says, listen, in John 14, He says, "Listen, you haven't asked anything, but ask in My name that your joy may be full." Hello? He wants you to have answers to your prayers, and He wants the answers to your prayers to be joyful. Throughout the whole Old Testament, God is always the children of Israel. They cry out, and God delivers them. But wait a minute. Why do we get to the point to where Pharaoh has made us become slaves before we pray? Because we in our pride and our foolish thinking think that we can withstand it. I can endure this for just a little bit longer. I can make this happen. Maybe if I did this or if I did that, it'll happen. And if I can do this and if I did that. While the Almighty God is standing right there saying, I'd love to just answer that prayer for you and give you joy, but you seem to just want to do it yourself. And He's going to stand back the whole time. He's not going to answer your prayer because you hadn't prayed in faith with confidence. Because we humans, forgive me if my speech offends you, but we humans are so stupid that we think that we're smarter than God. We think that we can endure. Listen to me. I am a sissy. I'll just admit it. I'll tell you right off the bat. I go, if you're viewing it like pride will take me forth, and if you pray you're a sissy, then I'm a sissy because whenever anything arises in my life, I have just learned, I just stop right there and say, "Okay, God, I got a problem right here. We got to do something, man. I mean, Holy Spirit, I need You right now to begin to move, begin to show me, begin to speak to me, because, Lord, I don't know what to do. We're in a bad situation. I need to do something, and I don't know what it is. And so can You show me what it is?" I do it over everything. Because I've learned that why not just go to the one who has the answer? I don't have the answer. I'm trying to figure it out. I don't got it. So why not just go to the one who has the answer and hear what He's got to say about the situation and then walk in it? But you know, here it goes back to that old pride issue, because a lot of times we're scared that He's going to tell us something that we don't want to hear. Well, you know, just don't talk to Him. If you ignore Him, then maybe you don't draw any attention, because then He might want you to do something. Lord, don't go to the throne and pray. I mean, my gosh, God might say to you, "Hey, come here. By the way, I'd really like you to do this, and you don't really want to do that." Now, I don't know. I'm going to look right back there. I'm just looking at the cameras out there. Somebody out there, which I'm not even looking at out of here because I don't want anybody to think I'm talking about you. But you know, so many married couples that are always wanting the other spouse to change. And if the other one changed, then life would be okay. But I'm just telling you, you get scared, because if you go to the throne, God might speak to you and say, "You know, you need to change this. And if you did, then I could be able to work in His life and do that." But we don't want to hear that. We just want God to come down. And then all of a sudden the person's like, we want God to do lobotomies and things. We want Him to come in at night. "Lord, if You just fix that idiot that I'm married to." And God said, well, I will, but you need to change this. And if you'll change your speech with another, well, there's nothing wrong with me. He's the one that makes me angry. So that's why we have no confidence in what we pray, because we don't really go to Him in prayer wanting to hear anything. We're just going in there trying to give God a suggestion of how we'd like Him to work the situation out. Because, you know, humans, we're so much smarter than God. Man, y'all are all looking at me like, I see those daggers behind your eyes. Okay? He says if we'll come to the place, the fourth thing we'd have to start doing, if we'll come to the place that, you know, we've been reading the Word, okay, and we've been meditating on it, and we've been taking control of our thoughts, and now we go to Him, and we begin to unload the burdens and roll over on that and begin to wallow in Him. And then all of a sudden, you know what? Peace comes into your life. Joy begins to come into your life. Because you're answering prayer and you're seeing, hey, this is a good way to live. There's, matter of fact, go there. Go to Matthew chapter 28. When I woke up this morning, I was thinking about this scripture, Matthew 28, I believe it's verse 1, 1 or 2. Go to 2. And I was thinking of this scripture yesterday, and it says, Matthew 28, verse 2, says, behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord ascended from heaven, and he came down, and he rolled back the stone from the door, and he sat on it. And I was thinking of the word rolling off, and I was thinking about the angel rolling the stone off. And I had done some research and looking at it, and it said that under a normal tomb that they dug out of the mountain or the hill for burial, that the normal tomb, normal small-sized tomb for a common person, that it would take, they'd roll a stone up, you know, obviously to keep the animals from getting in there, and then they'd roll a stone over it, but most of the stones, the size of the stone that they rolled in front of the hole, would take at least 20 men to roll the stone. That was a small size, but we know Jesus got buried in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, and which is probably more elaborate and bigger, and it would have taken probably more men to find a big enough stone to roll in front of it. So even the Roman guard that was set out in front of the tomb to make sure that no one broke into it couldn't have rolled the stone back, because there wasn't enough of them to roll the stone back. Y'all with me? And I think this is a funny scripture. Look at it again. It says, behold, there was a great earthquake, an angel of the Lord ascended from heaven, and he came and he rolled back the stone from the door, and he sat on it. I mean, here I'm talking about the very first thing, reading something and learning Jesus. Why did the angel sit on the stone? Just think about this. And the Lord spoke to me this morning, and he said, a person that reads that, any person that reads that, the mindset that they have will determine how they view the angel sitting on the rock. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, if a person is religiously minded, they view the angel as sitting up there like all piously, you know, ooh, you know, kind of like floating above it, not really sitting. But if you're, you know, just whatever, common-minded, you know, I mean, how do you sit on a rock? Think about this. How do you sit on a rock? I mean, I guess if you're ladylike, if you're a lady, you may have your legs crossed or, you know, if you're sitting on a rock, come on. An angel came and why did he sit on the rock? His feet couldn't have been tired. But if you notice, you read the next verse down there, it says he sat on the rock and then all the Roman soldiers, they all fell as dead down, you know, freaked them all out. I'm just telling you, in my opinion, the angel was just like, hey, let me get this stool. I think the angel was just, I think he just kicked back and was like this. Like, what are you going to do now? Well, you know, all those temple guards standing there with their little spears and all or whatever they had, you know, swords. And he's just like, rolls it back. It took more than 20 people to roll it up there. He rolled it back and then I think he just kind of sat back and is like, Hey, guys. I don't believe that they got freaked out because he came up and he was like, I think he just in his glory and his presence of an angel just came and sat down there. I think he just kind of laughed at him and said, hey, guys. And they were like, ah! Funk. Now, I don't know. I can't prove it. We'll have to get to heaven and watch the DVD on it, you know, but. My point is your mindset puts into you how things happen in the Bible. And if you're religiously minded, then you're going to view everything with a religious taint. And you're going to miss the real Jesus. You're going to miss the real Jesus. You see, you got to know him. And when you start to go roll your cares off on him, you have to know that you can walk up and throw the bag off and say, Jesus, I got this problem. What am I going to do with this? And talk to him. If you can speak, you can pray. And I thought about that statement. If there's anybody out there that's listening and you can't speak, you're mute, Jesus still hears your prayers. But I'm just saying, if you can speak, if you can communicate, you can pray. What Jesus wants us to do is the angel rolled off the stone, he rolled it back, and you know, he didn't have to. Because Jesus, just shortly thereafter, walked right through the wall. He didn't need the stone rolled back. He rolled back the stone to show that there was heaven was open. There's nothing between us and God. There's nothing blocking us. Ephesians 2 says he tore down the wall of separation between us and God. He's trying to get across from us visually, hey, heaven is open. That's why I think the angel was sitting there and he just kicked back and he had a smile on his face because he knew that now Jesus was out of the tomb and man could have fellowship with God, and he knew that's what God had always wanted. And you got to understand something. When you're worried about a situation, God is not looking at you saying, okay, let's just see if you can do this. I mean, you know, you just got to go a little, dig down, pull your boots up on, get on over there and get that job done. No, he's saying, hey, come on, let me help. Let me help you. I want you to be full of joy. I want to answer that problem for you. I want to take care of that. But if you never go turn loose of it and get out of the way, he can't move. So you have to develop a life to where you are continually going to God and rolling off your cares. You have to make time to do this. You have to come to a place in your life. I don't care if you what your time limits are, when you pray in the morning or how long you pray, anything, but you have to be at a place where mentally you can, you know, you're rolling your cares off on him and you're confident that he's hearing your prayers and he's going to answer them. And if you're not making time to do that, well, then you're wrong. And that may be why you're stressed and sick and discouraged and disgruntled and whatever, because you're not getting your answers from the source. Hello? Look at the person beside you and say, my goodness, that's good work. That's good work. Come on. Work with me here this morning, church. Come on. Okay, so that takes us to the fifth thing. Okay, I'm going to go over it again because I want to drill this in your head. You're learning, you're reading your Bible, you're learning who Jesus is. Then you're meditating on what you read. And then you're taking what you've read and what you're meditating on, and you're taking control of your thoughts. You're not just thinking every crazy thought you could think. Then now, you're going to the Lord and you're rolling off your concerns. All right? So that brings us to number five. Number five is, you have to understand the presence of God. You have to understand the presence of God. Now, go to Colossians chapter 3 first. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. How many of you guys in here, or gals, you possibly, and this is another country thing, you own a Ruger Mark III or Mark IV pistol? Raise your hand. Come on, give me a little bit of hand here. Okay. How many of you guys that own those pistols have ever taken it apart and couldn't get it back together? One of the silliest things I ever did is I sold one in my shop one day, and the person, I said, here, yeah, they're real easy to take apart, and I took it apart, and then I couldn't get it back together. Looked pretty silly, you know? And I had to get the instruction manual out. You don't want to lose the instruction manual for that pistol, because I'm telling you what, you have to be a genius to get it back, and there's no way to figure it out. You turn it this way, flip it that way, and then do this, and do that. And do that. It's complicated anyway. It's ridiculous. You don't lose the manual. I value my manual. I keep my manual in the safe because I ain't going to lose it. Because if I ever lose it, I'd have to go find somebody else that had one to get it or go online and find one because it's ridiculous. Okay? There's no way to memorize it. It's too complicated. Okay. So is it with the Word of God. When I read my Bible and I come across a scripture, it is the answer to what I need in life. When God illuminates something to me in the Word and I'm reading it, and I'm like, wow, I didn't know. Okay, for instance, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. So you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. That's instruction for us. That means when you come into a place that you, like let's just say church here this morning, and if we're up here singing songs, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, and you're thinking about, man, I tell you, I'm so mad at so-and-so, I'd like to beat him with a stick. I'm so angry, I just could just tear his head off. If that's your thoughts going through your mind at the moment while everybody else is singing, then sings my soul. Your soul ain't singing. Are y'all with me? Your mind is not set on things above, right? You're not seeking those things above and setting your mind on the things above. And so therefore, you're staying on the things of this earth. So you know what's going to happen? Listen to me, you are not going to enter into the presence of God. You're not going to have any sense, and I'm talking about sense of feeling, sense of where you are. You're not going to have any sense of God is in your midst. You say, well, that's just some kind of metaphysical, transcendental thing. No. It says, listen, what you're thinking about is where you're going to go. Oh, you say, well, I don't know. Oh, why you're thinking of beating the guy? And I use those things because that's what I deal with. I'm sorry. While you're thinking of it, all of a sudden you're starting to get into it. You're starting to throw punches and you're starting to physically react to what you're doing. I've had to watch myself. I've noticed this about me. And, you know, I'm telling all my tales here, but when I get irritated, for some reason, I don't know why, I found that I would get hold of my finger and I would be squeezing my finger. You know? And then in a minute I realized, man, my hand is fatigued because I'm just sitting there I'm squeezing it. So if you ever see me sitting around like that with my hand squeezing my finger, you just know I'm really irritated and probably going to leave me alone. But you know, if you're going to the doctor or the dentist or something like that where, you know, why do they always take your blood pressure when you go to the doctor? Of course your blood pressure's high. I just think I have to go and I get upset. I ain't nothing like it. The dentist is worse. Are y'all with me? I know somebody's going to hurt me or stick me with something. I don't like it. So I'm automatically like this. I'm gripping myself. What's happening? My body, I've already set my mind on the things that are about to happen. I'm already getting apprehensive about it. I'm already getting stressed about it. What you're thinking on is having an effect upon you. If you come into this house, this church, and you're worshiping God, and you block that other stuff out, and you start thinking on heaven, and thinking on Jesus, and thinking God that you got saved, and you're just saying, God, I just worship you, man, you're awesome. Even if you don't know any more than that, and you just keep saying it over and over, God, you're just awesome. Thank you that you saved me. Thank you, I'm headed to heaven. They say streets of gold. I can kind of imagine what gold looks like. You're starting to set that. You know what's going to happen? In just a minute, your environment is going to change and you're going to enter into God's presence. Now, actually, that's really a wrong statement, but it's the only way I can say it to you to get you to understand. Because actually, the Bible says God's in the midst of you. He's here all the time, everywhere. It's just you become aware of it. You didn't really enter into anything. You just became aware of it. But I can say enter into and y'all get it. You don't get confused. But what happens is all of a sudden you just are aware that God is with you. Because my Bible tells me that God is in the midst of me. That means he's with me all the time, whether I feel like it or not. Y'all following me. Okay? We do everything upon emotion and feeling. And I want to tell you something. The older I get, the more good feeling I have. I'm sorry. I woke up this morning. Man, I was stiff. I don't know what I did. I woke up, I hurt all the way through the whole house. Everything hurt. My knee hurt, my back hurt, my arm hurt. Everything hurt. At that moment, I did not feel like, oh, this is heaven. No, I was hurting. There was pain in my body. I mean, if you live based upon your feelings and your emotions, you're going to miss it. Because I want to tell you something. It wasn't too happy a scene this morning when I got up. Are y'all there? Y'all hear me? I mean, if y'all just wake up in the morning and you're just like, well, then tell me what you're doing, because, man, I'm not. You're working. These last few days have been so humid, there's not even air to breathe. And you're just sweating like a pig, and you're just like, oh, God, I don't feel like heaven. Oh, God, it's a glorious day. No, it's not. It's hot. It's tired. And I want to go home. Get in the air conditioner. Are y'all following me? You cannot live life by your feelings, and you can't live life by your emotions. If you do, you're going to be whoop, 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 whoop. You're going to be a roller coaster. But that's not what that scripture's talking about. What that scripture's talking about here is setting your mind on things above. It's different. It means you begin to live in the world that you know is reality, which is you're headed to heaven. That God is in the midst of you. This is good stuff, man. This is really good stuff. I'm going to go back and listen to this again myself just to encourage myself. You've got to sit in the land of the living and live in reality of what God's word said. So you begin to say, Lord, I just think, you know, I just heard on the radio this morning, biggest bubble ever, and it's going to crash. And oh, God, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if stocks are going to go out. What if my job's going to die? Listen, Bible says, God, you said that I've put my hand to the plow and I'm going forward and that I'm going to prosper and that you're going to take care of me no matter where, that you're my financier. You start to take thoughts like that, what the word says. You say, oh, well, you're just trying to disregard the facts. No, I'm looking at the facts because I believe in my God. Do you see the difference? I believe in what the word says. I believe the word's true. I believe that his angels are there. I believe that what he says in the scriptures, it's real. So I'm living in the real world of reality, the reality of a living God. And the circumstances and situations that are around me, they have to line up with what the word says. So the moment you begin to set your mind on those things, you're going to have a sense of God is with you. Well, you're full of the Spirit. He said, your body's the temple of the living God. The Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. All of a sudden, you're just becoming aware of that. Now, when that happens, it begins to bring you confidence. So when you take that place and you find that place of prayer, that place that you can sit down and you can truly stop your mind from running. Now, listen to me. If you didn't do point number one and you didn't do point number two, which is learning, reading your Bible, meditating on the word, and not taking control of your thoughts and learning to take control of your thoughts, then you know what? You're not going to do point number five, ever enter his presence, because you can't get your mind to shut up. Your mind rules you. Hello. If you didn't do point one and two and three, then you're not going to do four and you're not going to do five. You can't do it. You can't get your mind to shut up. My son has a dog that I love to play with him because all I have to do is say, squirrel, squirrel. And he just goes. He's so much fun. You just be sitting there petting him, talking to him, everything, saying, squirrel. And that's what we're like. Yes, Jesus, I love you. Squirrel! And then we're off. I don't know how I'm supposed to be meditating on the Word of God. Are we here? Get this down. Okay, now, yes, Lord, I love you. Squirrel! And so the devil knows that's all he's got to do is say, squirrel. And we're off because we don't control our thoughts. Have you ever noticed that you have the most thoughts when you sit down to read your Bible? Huh? Your whole day starts getting planned out. You're reading the Word and then your head's just going off. Oh, yeah, you need to go down there. You got to get this done. You got to go down there. And you're just like, shut up. Well, see, if you don't control your thoughts and learn to control your thoughts, then you're going to be ruled by your thoughts. And all the devil has to do is shout to you, squirrel, and you're off. When you begin to get to the place where you can control your thoughts, then you start to sense the presence of God. And then all of a sudden you're like, wow, Lord. And peace comes into your life. And grace comes upon you. And you feel His mercy and you feel His love. Scripture here, I want you to go to. You may have to do a little looking to find it, but it's in the Old Testament, the book of Zephaniah. Yeah, so I'm reading it on my iPad, so just go searching for it or go to the front if you don't know where Zephaniah is. It's in all those little minor prophets stuck in there somewhere. So Zephaniah chapter 3. Verse 17. Or you can just look at the screen. Look what this scripture says. The Lord your God is in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with His love. And He will rejoice over you with singing. See, the problem is we get so warped in life because however our Father handled us is how we determine how the God our Father is going to handle us. And I got to say, my Father, He never rejoiced over me with singing. I don't even really know how that is, you know. Robert, you are so great. You're the greatest son. I love you. I don't know. I don't know how rejoicing over you with singing actually happens. I've never seen it done. Okay? But I know that because of the type of person I am, if my Father would have done that, I said, Daddy, you okay, man? You smoking something or getting some peyote or what in the world? I would have not been able to respond emotionally to that. So I began to dwell on this scripture and begin to meditate on it. Think about it. I says, I would freak out if God Almighty, well, folks, listen, we're talking God Almighty is singing and rejoicing over you. That freaks me out. That's a new level and depth of God that I've just been meditating on, saying, how does this even work, Lord? Are y'all with me? Now, it doesn't say because you did something great. You know how the movies, you see the Roman conqueror, he comes into town riding on the chariot. You know, I preached on this one time about the Romans, they would have their general, whoever it was, would be riding on the chariot in front. You know, he just won a great battle. And he'd be going in, riding all the, throwing all the flowers and doing all the stuff and doing whatever, you know, and he's just riding along. Well, they always put behind him a guy that would run along behind him, hurling abuses at him, so that he wouldn't get so prideful that he'd not be a good general anymore. So the guys running along behind him, man, you stink, you're short, you're an idiot. That guy's running along behind him while everybody else is cheering, he's the general, he's a great guy, he's almost a god. And the other guy's running along, you're half full, you can't make it. Is that crazy or what? But we're talking about here, God Almighty is rejoicing over you with singing. He is quieting you with his love. Listen to me. And rejoicing over you. He's in your midst. This is the God who cares for you, that wants to communicate with you, whose presence you walk in is this God. He's not the God hiding with a baseball bat behind his back saying, yeah, come on up to the throne. I got something I want to share with you. He's not that God. You may think because of what your parents raised you that that's what's going to happen to you. You're in trouble and you're going to get spanked. But this is not that. That does not paint a picture of a God who's going to do that to you, does it? Does it? Does it? He says, man, he's a mighty one. He's in your midst. He's going to save you. He's going to rejoice over you with gladness. He's going to love you. He's going to take you into his love, and he's going to rejoice over you with singing. So he is, here comes Frank. Hey, I love Frank. Frank is the greatest one. That is freaky to me. The God who made the worlds, that's what he's doing with you. That right there should be enough to make you want to get in his presence. That should be enough to make you yearn and long and burn to be in the presence of the one who thinks like that of you. You need to take that scripture, Zephaniah 3:17, you need to commit it to memory. You need to make that one of your memory verses. You need to pin that thing up on your wall. You need to write it everywhere you can and keep saying over there, Lord, I don't understand it, but I just think you're going to show me, you're going to speak to me, you're going to give me a revelation of that scripture. That's one that needs to be sown in your heart that you never forget. So when the world comes and they're throwing stones at you and all you hear is the guy that's running behind you, hurling abuses at you, telling you you're not going to make it, you need to turn around and say, listen, you need to be quiet, or you need to just not even listen to him and just have your mind set on the things of heaven, of what the word says. So put that scripture with some other scriptures. You know, Psalms 139 that says God has more thoughts to you than the sand of the sea. And he says that they're all precious. So he's having precious thoughts of you more than the sand of the sea. In your midst, rejoicing over you with love, bringing you to a place that he's going to sing over you with rejoicing. Whew. And you don't want to go to his house? Are you following me? I always want to be around people who are saying good things to me. I don't want to go to the person's house that's not saying anything good about me. I don't want to go to the person's house that I don't feel welcome. I don't want to go to the person's house that's just argumentative and challenging all the time. I don't want to go there. I want to go to the house where there's joy and peace. Right? Hello? Well, this is the house I want to go to. So you're going to enter his presence. When you do what Colossians 3:1 says, when you set your mind on the things of heaven. So if you're doing point 1, 2, 3, 4, you've got your thoughts under control, then you're aware of his presence. It doesn't mean you went to this place and get that religious thinking out of your mind. Look, if you're there and you're worshiping God and you feel tingly all over, glory to God. If you don't, it doesn't make any difference. Quit looking for emotional experiences. Do what the Word says. Folks, listen to me. If I didn't do what the Word said, I'd never lay hands on anybody up here. As I was going to the line, people were telling me, oh, last week when you prayed for me, God healed my arm, God did this. but I wouldn't do it. I don't feel like it. You say, that's terrible, Pastor. There's all kinds of pressure to go do that. But I do, I'm obedient to what the Word says. I'm not going to be moved by my emotions or my feelings. I'm going to do what the Word says. If I'm doing what the Word says, you know what? It's got to work. Because the Word works. So I'm not looking for an emotional experience. I'm not looking for, you know, the lightning flashes and the cool breeze or the oil to fall over my head or the shaking or the quaking or the flaking or the making or the whatever. I'm just looking to do what the Bible says, set my mind on Him. And when I set my mind on Him, just what it says here, and I begin to dwell and think on the things above, I know I'm going to enter into the house of that God. And you have to do that. You have to make time for that. Whether it's before you're going to bed, when you wake up in the morning, when you're out in the middle of the job, when you're out in the country, when you're looking at whatever, you have to make time that you're going to stop your day and enter His presence. If you don't, all I can say is suffer on through. I mean, I love you, but if you just want to just sit over there and suffer, ain't much I can do about it. You're just going to have to suffer. So, let me give you some hands-on right here, and then I'm through. Okay, you have to create an environment that's conducive to hear God, right? So if you've got the TV on and the news is on, you're not going to be thinking about anything but what the news is doing. You got to shut it off, okay? If moms, if you're with the kids, you know, it's going to be difficult at that moment. You've got to figure out some way to make that work where you have some alone time, all right? And in that alone time, you've got to create an environment that's conductive, conducive for you to enter God's presence, all right? So you can do that several ways, you know? You can turn on music, all right? Okay, let me just run this right quick, okay? I'm not promoting anything here, but, you know, I'm just now getting kind of techno-savvy and with my phone. And so I've been experimenting with Pandora, all right? So I don't know if I had to cut that off or whatever, but anyway, I've been experiencing that. And so I got everything. I got everything from Johnny Cash to, you know, Andrea Bocelli on my radio list. And it is amazing that when I'm sitting there, and man, I love country music, you know that. And don't throw stones at me here. But I love Willie Nelson. But when I'm out there singing, you know, Whiskey River, take my mind, it puts me in a certain frame of mind that is not conducive for hearing and listening to the presence of God. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having that time, but, you know, it's not in your worship time. And yesterday I had Bocelli playing, and he's singing, and I'm just going, it changed the whole environment of our house in just a moment by having a different music playing. Folks, all I'm saying to you is it's real. And you got to find what stirs your soul and stirs your passion. And we're all different. You may love Hank Williams' greatest gospel hits. That may stir you closer to the presence of God than ever before. Or you may want, you know, Darlene Check or whoever, you know, whatever the person is in your life that stirs you in that realm of music. And I love a lot of different kinds of music. If you look through my radio, my phone, and you saw what I have in there, you would laugh. I've got from 1940s country to opera. It's the truth. Is that not right? And I like it all. All right? Now, some of it I don't like, but, I mean, I like it. I have a wide variety, and depending on what frame of mind it is, what music I'm listening to. So you have to make a place that's conducive. So, you know, you've got to get something that's conducive. You don't want Whiskey River to be taking your mind. You want the Holy Ghost to be taking your mind. So you've got to set that environment, okay? You can sing, you can worship. If you can't sing, you say, listen, then get somebody to sing for you. Put the music on. Okay. You can read a psalm. The psalms are anointed. They're songs. We call them psalms, but they're songs that were sung, but we don't always have all the music to it. And you wouldn't like it probably anyway because it's not your style of music. But you can go read the Psalms. Go read Psalms 37. Just take Psalms 37 and start reading it. And just sing what it says. Immediately, you're going to begin to think about it. Immediately, you're going to stop thinking about the things going on in the world. You're immediately going to start thinking about the things of heaven. Immediately, you're going to begin to enter the presence of God. Okay? The longer you stay, in the presence of God, the more revelation you're going to hear. Bottom line, the longer you're at Daddy's house, the more you're going to learn about Him. Now, the real key in life is to live at that place in your life where you're so in tune to this, setting your mind on the things of heaven, that all you got to do is just be at work. You're working along there and just go in there and just sit down for just a minute and say, I love you, Jesus. And you sense the breath of heaven. That you can stop and control your thoughts quickly. It's not a battle. That's a great place to be. Because then you're just in the presence of God all day long. You're just walking along. You're very aware of it. No matter what's going on, you can just stop and say, love Jesus, you're awesome. Everybody else thinks, what's he tripping on over there? Oh, man. Got to get a little fix of heaven here in a minute. We'll go back to work. That's a great place to be. That's the goal. All right? So, you're going to learn who Jesus is. You're going to read the Word. You're going to meditate on the Word. That's going to give you the power to control your thoughts because now you've got some Word to control your thought with. You're going to roll off your cares. You're going to get rid of those concerns, those things that are burdening you, so that then you can, number five, enter into His presence and have a realization that God is with you. Amen? Amen. Well, put your Bibles up. I pray this helps you and inspired you. I pray that you're at least making an effort to read and get into doing what I'm telling you. I know it's what you need in life. It's what's going to bring you victory. So if you would, stand to your feet. Can I have my prayer team come down this morning? If you're here today and you need prayer other than when we're praying for the sick or a while ago or whatever, or you missed that, well, we're here to pray with you. And I just believe God's God of miracles. But listen to me, church. If you're here today or if you're listening by audio or watching by video today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you hear what I'm saying, it sounds really good to you, but you've never made that step, well, then the Bible's really specific. It says that if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart and Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, then He'll save you. If you believe in Him as the Son of God, then He'll come into your life and He'll forgive you of your sins. So if you're out there listening or you're in here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you want to, well, then I want to pray with you. I want to ask God to move in your life and to speak to your hearts. Amen? So if you would, just everybody with your heads bowed, just give everybody around you a little bit of privacy. And if that's you and God's speaking to you this morning, you say, I want to know for sure that if I die, I'm going to heaven. If that's you, just lift your hand and say, yeah, that's me. I want to pray with you this morning, Pastor. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you're watching or you're listening right now, just pray this with me. Say, Jesus, come into my life. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for me. And I believe you forgive me of my sins today. I want you in my life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Listen to me. He's the greatest thing in the world. He's the greatest God in the world. Amen. So grab that person's hand beside you. Let's pray. Father, I just declare right now that as this time of being here in your presence doesn't end, because you're the God who's always in our midst. Lord, we commit just what your word says in Zephaniah 3:17 down into our hearts, that you're always with us and that you love us and that you rejoice over us. And Lord, I just declare that each and every one of us will grab hold of that. We will believe that this morning. We're going to walk in that truth. We're going to walk in that revelation. We are going to have you, Lord God, in our lives and in our midst at all times. So I ask you today, Lord, to bless our time, bless our food that we're about to eat together with dinner on the grounds in our fellowship. And we just thank you for it all, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you, church.